The holidays are expensive. You're paying for gifts, travel, decorations, food, and before you know it, you've blown way past what you were planning to spend. Don't start the new year off with bad money vibes. Download Rocket Money to stay on top of your finances. The app pulls your income, expenses, and upcoming charges into one place so you can get the clearest picture of your money. It shows how much to set aside for bills and how much is safe to spend for the month so you can spend with confidence. No guesswork needed. Get alerts before bills hit, track budgets, and see every subscription you're paying for. Rocket Money also finds extra ways to save you money by canceling subscriptions you're not using and negotiating lower bills for you. On average, Rocket Money users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Start the year off right by taking control of your finances. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Joining us now on the line, Steve Hay, senior writer for the Weekly Standard, author of two New York Times bestsellers, and of course you see him all the time on your Fox News channel. Good morning to you, Steve.
Morning, guys. How's it going?
Well, good. We wanted to talk to politics of the moment, and I want to start out by this story that seems to be burbling. And it didn't come from WikiLeaks. This came from the FBI as they reluctantly hand over all this information about the email investigation and how they conducted it. Comes a revelation that the State Department, in the form of one Patrick Kennedy, was pressuring the FBI to reduce the classification level on an email that was going to cause problems for Hillary Clinton. That's not all that's in that report, but that's the one that's sort of raising a lot of eyebrows this morning.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think it's a big deal for a couple of different reasons. Patrick Kennedy is a senior State Department official. He's a longtime State Department bureaucrat, but somebody who's close to the Clintons, who worked closely with Clinton Chief of Staff Cheryl Mills over the years. And what you're seeing in these FBI files, and they're likely to be released in the next few days, is a pattern of Kennedy trying to influence the State Department and the FBI to reclassify certain emails that he thought would be problematic for Hillary Clinton. So in one case, he tries to upclassify an email and make sure that it's taken out of circulation, basically, by declaring some obscure exemption from the Freedom of Information Act so that, in his words, it can be archived in the basement of the State Department, never to be seen again. So he wanted to get rid of emails, in some cases, by upclassifying them, keeping them from public distribution. And in other cases, he wanted to declassify classified emails so that they wouldn't look as bad when they were eventually released to the public.
So do we know, based on the emails, Steve, whether he was successful or not?
We don't, actually. We don't have a very good sense, at least as it relates to the FBI. And that's where I think this is a story that this is the first couple days of this story, but this is a story that's likely to grow significantly in the coming days, because we don't know whether Kennedy was successful in getting the FBI to do this. The only reason we know anything about this is because FBI agents, FBI officials, told the FBI investigators of Hillary Clinton's email scandal about what Kennedy was trying to do.
Yeah.
So that's why we have this window. Kennedy may have tried to do the same thing at the CIA, at the DIA, at the NSA,
right,
at the NGA. I mean, he may have tried to get people to change the classifications on Hillary Clinton's emails at multiple agencies, and I think it's worth pursuing that.
And the other thing that's sort of interesting here is that apparently there was a discussion between Kennedy and the FBI about whether or not, at the very same time all this was going on, they were asking questions about whether or not they could get more slots in their overseas facilities around the world. And this is something very important to the FBI. Some people
right.
have called this, it gives it the appearance of a quid pro quo. If you scratch my back on this email thing and on this this classification of this email, then we'll scratch your back on your request to get more slots around the world, something the FBI really wanted.
Right, and it should be noted that the person who suggested that was a quid pro quo was an FBI official. So this is not outside people who are saying this.
Right.
This is somebody internally at the FBI who sees these discussions unfolding and says, wait a second,
you
this
can't
sounds
do that,
a lot
right.
like a quid pro quo. Mm-hmm. Just real quickly on how this evolved, what happened was the FBI International Operations Division was trying to get these slots for additional FBI personnel approved at diplomatic outposts overseas. Kennedy is the one who approves those things. So these people had been trying to get a hold of Kennedy for months, Kennedy didn't return their phone calls, wasn't interested. But when Kennedy found out that he needed a favor, that he needed to reclassify these emails for Hillary Clinton, he suddenly called back not the people who were in charge of classification, but called back the people who had this outstanding request to him.
Ah.
In a sense, it looks like he's calling in a favor. We can't say that with any certainty, but it looks like he's calling in a favor. Then the international operations people pull the classification people in, and that's where this discussion really takes off.
Our guest is Steve Hay, senior writer at the Weekly Standard. And Steve, your reporting on the Iraq War during the Bush 43 administration was amongst the best, I think, and your analysis continues. So I would love to get your take on what we're seeing on the ground in Mosul today, as yet again, Iraqi forces are trying to wrestle that town back from ISIS, and there's quite a bit of American involvement this time around.
Yeah, there is. I mean, it would be nice if we would acknowledge the American involvement after the president has been boasting that he's ended these two wars. I think it's a positive step. It needs to happen. It's probably overdue to retake Mosul. Mosul is either the second or third largest city in Iraq, depending on how you do the count. It's crucial to take it back over. I'm skeptical, and everybody should be skeptical, about the kinds of pronouncements we're hearing from our leading officials, the administration, the military at the Pentagon, and Iraqi officials, that this will sort of lead to the inevitable demise of ISIS and sort of return to peace and prosperity in the region. That's highly unlikely. This is a good first step. It's an important step, and it's a necessary step, but it's a first step.
All right. And also, what about talking about politics of the moment, I've seen so many of these stories that seem to suggest this election is all but over. What do you think? Is it too soon to be saying something like that?
I mean, I don't know that. I suppose if you're asked a question, you answer it directly. And if you think the election's over, you say the election's over. I don't know that it does a lot of good. I mean, there are 3 weeks left. We should continue to have our debates. In terms of Donald Trump's prospects for winning this, I think barring some, you know, major external event that would be a sort of dynamic shifting, race shifting,
some unforeseeable event that we don't see, right?
It's hard to see how he turns it around, particularly given the way that he has chosen to campaign. I mean, he is now campaigning arguably as much against Paul Ryan and the media and others as he is against Hillary Clinton. And there's a report out this morning, I don't know if you guys have talked about it, in the Financial Times, that Trump's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, has had conversations about establishing this Trump TV. And it's much easier to explain Trump's actions if you believe that what he's really seeking here is market share rather than electoral.
I have not seen that yet, but I'll check it out. Steve Hayes, real fast, speaking of prospects for winning, you're sort of our unofficial Washington Capitals expert, and the Nats playoff run last week got us a little distracted. The season's underway. What do you think?
Look, I mean, I couldn't be more excited for the Caps. I think the fact that we brought in Lars Eller to center another line means that we have four good centers. Our defense remains pretty strong. Our goaltending is among the best in the NHL. You have Ovechkin, you have Backstrom, you have Kuznetsov. This is a team that, I mean, I hate to say it this way, but if this isn't the year, I don't know when the year is. This is an incredibly talented team, an incredibly well-coached team, and I should probably keep my expectations in check, but I'm having a hard time doing that.
So in short, Steve Hayes thinks that the Washington Capitals this season will do much better than his pathetic Green Bay Packers yesterday, who couldn't even beat the Cowboys at home.
Well, look, there could be a relationship between the two, right? As I'm sort of losing confidence in the Packers, I'm investing emotionally in the Caps.
Those were not the Packers the Skins saw in week one. All right,
correct.
Steve, we got to leave it there. Steve Hayes, again, senior writer at the Weekly Standard and author of two New York Times bestsellers. And you see him on Fox News all the time, too.
Yeah.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, Steve.
Thanks, guys.